This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Ohio's state teachers' retirement system controls more than $90 billion invested on behalf of more than 500,000 active and retired teachers. But there's been heated debate among its members over how the organization should manage that money. And now a board member known as one of the reformers has resigned. Today, we're going to talk about all this upheaval, what retired teachers are saying, and discuss how Ohio's teacher pension fund is managed. Joining me now are State Teachers Retirement System of Ohio Acting Executive Director Lynn Hoover. Thanks for being here, Lynn.
Hi, Lucy. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
We're glad you're here. Ohio Retirement for Teachers Association President Dean Dennis. Welcome, Dean.
Hi, Lucy.
Great to have you here, too. And USA Today Network Ohio Bureau reporter Laura Bischoff. Welcome back, Laura.
Hey, glad to be back. Thanks.
Laura, briefly explain the disagreement among STRS board members over the way the money in the pension fund is being invested.
Well, there's some, it kind of has a long backstory. I think it goes back about 10 years when there was pension reform in Ohio. And the changes that the lawmakers instituted really put a lot of the burden on the retirees and employees to work longer and settle for lower benefits. And one of the things that STRS was allowed to do was to change the cost of living allowance, the COLA. It had been a fixed 3%. And STRS, in order to shore up its finances, suspended that COLA for several years. And that kind of really upset a lot of the retirees who are on fixed incomes and put a lot of pressure on to, you know, take a look at restoring that COLA. So in the course of, you know, putting pressure on the system to look at the COLA, I think a lot of folks have looked to see if there's a better way of investing the funds. And there's a push to consider shifting to more of an indexing approach. STRS has an in-house finance team that manages most of the $93, $94 billion in-house. And the idea would be to go to indexing, which would be less expensive, fewer fees, less management. But, you know, the question is, can indexing meet or exceed what the in-house team is able to get in terms of investment returns.
Lynn, how has STRS been performing compared with other Ohio pension funds?
Yeah, thank you, Lucy. I'm happy to say our net total fund return has outperformed 97% of the plans around the country. We have a very good record, and that's over the 20-year period, which arguably is most appropriate to look at long-term, you know, success. So the investment team is trying to achieve the most, the best return, risk-adjusted return that they can, and they've done just that. We're about two-thirds internally managed, and then to your question specifically, within Ohio, the Ohio Retirement Study Council just did a historical report and again, described our returns as remarkable. We outperformed the other four Ohio systems during a very long time period that they measured.
Dean, what do you think about the way the fund is performing?
Well, obviously, we do not have a cost of living adjustment, no inflation protection. Teachers are working longer, paying more. The reason, if we are outperforming them, that's the spin from STRS, the other four pension systems in Ohio, it's only because they are withholding our benefits. That's how they're getting financially healthy, by taking away our benefits and withholding them. And let me just jump in on all these comparisons. It's always their numbers, their consultants. People can say anything, but what we care about is where the rubber meets the road. How is the pension system, which is supposed to be designed to provide benefits for its members, when we are paying twice as much as Social Security, why are we about the only pension system in the United States that don't have any guaranteed inflation protection? So they can be great all day and all night, but their members aren't going to believe that.
Lynn, I want to let you respond to that because, you know, Dean just mentioned Social Security. A lot of our listeners may not be aware that teachers can't get Social Security. This is the retirement system that they have to pay into, that they count on. What are your thoughts on what Dean had to say about this, you know, not getting those cost of living adjustments, not having a guaranteed inflationary increase? I want to get your thoughts on that.
Sure. And I want to first address, too, you know, the comments about our investment performance is not just our claim. It comes from a lot of different independent assessments. I can't find anyone that doesn't say that. So we have the board's investment consultant. We've had a fiduciary audit, the auditor state, and going on. So that piece. So investment performance, investment management is not the root of you know, the COLAs and so forth that he brought up. So, you know, first and foremost, we want to make sure that our pension fund is fiscally responsible and fiscally strong. And that is exactly what has happened. And it is certainly on the heels of changes, difficult changes and hardships for our retirees and members. But at the end of the day, our fund has to meet its monthly pension benefits until the day you die. And that's what our number one goal is. Now, so just to level set, we've got assets of about $94 billion. Our liabilities are over $108 billion. So it is, you know, that is the piece to be mindful about. Now, a COLA, if we were to do an automatic ongoing repeating COLA, the cost of that to our liabilities is about $7 billion. So again, just level setting. Now, what SDRS has done while making the fund more resilient, we have done a permanent COLA in two of the last 3 years. We've also made changes to the active teachers. We've heard from them and we've reduced the years of service required to be able to retire, both for full and reduced. And we're not done. That's conversations that the board is having each year with its actuary.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about Ohio's Teacher Pension Fund and how it manages money on behalf of Ohio's more than 500,000 active and retired teachers. Do you have questions or comments about the fund? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. Dean, Lynn just mentioned this third-party review that found that STRS has gotten better returns than Ohio's other public pension funds, comparing them. She talked about how there are these long-term liabilities that the fund has to keep in mind. Do you think any of this criticism is unfair in any way based on that third-party review and what that review concluded?
Well, let's just revisit that. Let's just take real estate, for instance. We have about 8% in real estate of our funds tied up. And let's compare STRS Ohio compared with the other pension systems in Ohio. Over the last 2 months, 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 7 year, 10 year, we are dead last in our real estate returns. So how is that explained? And by the way, we have people in four different sections of the country that manage our real estate investments actively, but we're underperforming the other pension systems in Ohio. So I'd like to hear her speak to that.
I want to ask you, I don't know, what can you tell us, Lynn, about the real estate investments? Because that kind of gets to an email that we got from a listener. This listener asks, what will it take for STRS to open their books and allow STRS board members and the public to see the alternative investment contract / secret deals? Will that even show the fees and payments made to those companies? Does STRS alternative investment staff even have access to that information? I'm not sure, honestly, if real estate is part of what the alternative investment contracts that this listener is asking about, but can you speak to that a little bit? Because there are investments that aren't just the typical stocks and bonds and that sort of thing.
That's right. And so we are a diversified investor. We have asset classes. We have domestic equities, international equities. We have fixed income, real estate, and alternative investments and a liquidity reserve sleeve. All that really at the end of the day matters is the total fund return. And so when I look at our total fund return that includes thousands of investments across all of these asset classes and portfolios, our return has been remarkable. It really, truly has. Over the 10-year, most recent fiscal year, we were at 8.7%. Over the 20 years, I think it was right close to 8%. And how that compares to the other funds around the country is very, very strong. Now, within respect to the real estate asset class, that is a separate asset class from alternative investments. They are both illiquid investments, okay? So our real estate asset class, we actually, over the 10-year period, had an 8.8% return through our last fiscal year. We did outperform our benchmark. And so with respect to, though, the private investments, right, that information, we have a lot of reporting that we provide to our board with respect to individual investments. And I might note, too, we also have third parties that come in and scrub through all the transactions to look at the reporting and things of that nature on all of our asset classes, but that also includes real estate and alternative investments.
Again, we're talking about Ohio's Teacher Pension Fund. If you have questions or comments, you can give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. Dean, at the top of our conversation, Laura was telling us about this argument about whether there should be an index fund approach or an index investing approach versus the active investing that STRS currently does. Why does your organization argue it would be better to use a passive index fund strategy?
Because if you believe in the financial science and you believe in the experts like Richard Ennis, and they will tell you that you only beat the market maybe 5 to 10% of the time. So that means 90 to 95% of the time you do not beat the market. So we spend a lot of money and fees trying to beat the market. Our own state auditor said out of the last 22 years, we underperformed the S&P 500 13 of those 22 years. Everybody, all the financial experts point to index investing is the cheapest, best way to match the market, not beat the market. We take too many risks trying to beat the market. Let me just share, there's a statute in Ohio, 3307.15. It says that you have to know the fair value when you post your values. And when we have so much of our money, 20 to 21% tied up in alternative investments, where we can't even audit our own investments, and we have to take the word of the general manager, the general partner, what we're earning, how's that transparent? And we're paying these people management fees of up to 2% annually on that. Now, when you try squeezing basis points out, just 25 basis points will return $6.7 billion over a 30-year period. And we're losing that money by trying to beat the market. It doesn't make any sense. Now, you've got a lot of retirees that do not have inflation protection. You have people that are paying 14% now when they used to pay 10% of all their monies that they're earning. They're working longer. And we have a staff that's creating these benchmarks to make their performance bonuses. And it's at the expense of the members. The members are not being put first in this pension system.
Lynn, I want to get your thoughts on that. It sounds like the staff believes managing the fund in an active investment strategy is the better way to go. I want to let you respond to what Dean just said and also talk about why there's this advocating for an active investment strategy instead of a passive index fund strategy.
Right, Lucy. So just again to clarify, our total fund return that's being measured is net. It's a net total fund return of all fees and costs and everything. So that's kind of really central to the conversation. And I do hope we get a chance to talk about the unique demographics of the system that really do generate, I think, the answers, you know, to some of our questions about benefits. But we have a duty to diversify. I will say we have active and we have passive strategies. So that's something that's been really misunderstood. We have passive and index investing. And again, some asset classes, you cannot be passive just by the nature of that asset class. but we believe in active and passive. And just to kind of level set, you know, the board has an overall responsibility for the asset mix. How much are we in each asset class, right? And then the investment consultant, you know, obviously works with them, and then there's implementation. And so what we've talked about is the board will be looking at that asset mix and then looking at prospectively, what is the best way for us to manage the assets, you know, going forward. With respect to the S&P 500, the auditor state was simply showing an illustration, okay? So it's not appropriate for a pension fund to ever be invested in solely the S&P 500. That would not meet the prudence, the duty to diversify, the fiduciary duty. But the auditor state also illustrated, what if you were in the S&P 500 for that longer time period that was in the report, and SDRS's assets were much higher than had they been in the S&P 500. So time series really does matter. But with respect to the alternative investments, we have a very good process with a third party. We are actually one of the few public pension systems that claim compliance with the Global Investment Performance Standards. And as a result of that, we have a third party, ACA, that verifies the performance. They look and scrub through all those valuations that Dean was referring to. So we're not taking the word of the general partner. There's a lot of internal controls and processes. I could spend 30 minutes just talking about that alone. But we have independent third parties, ACA, we have a fee validation firm, so, and then our financial audit. But staff, and final point, is staff does not approve the benchmarks, okay? Those are approved by the board each year. And we have something called a statement of investment objective and policy. So those benchmarks are something in that policy that the board approves each and every year. That's part of the policies.
Did you want to say something quickly, Dean?
Yeah, so let's get back to the benchmarks. We netted 7.55 last year. I believe that's correct. But our benchmark was 7.62, but staff received the performance bonus indexes. So are they earning the index? Are they earning their PBIs, performance bonuses, off of the gross or the net? Because the benchmark, they clearly underperformed the benchmark.
Okay. We're going to come back and we'll talk more about this and continue our conversation in just a moment. And later in the program, we'll hear why word puzzles are having a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about Ohio's state teachers' retirement system and how the pension fund is managed. My guests are State Teachers' Retirement System of Ohio Acting Executive Director Lynn Hoover, Ohio Retirement for Teachers Association President Dean Dennis, and USA Today Network Ohio Bureau Reporter Laura Bischoff. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. We did get an email from Gilda. Gilda emails, why does STRS have such a large investment staff? Can you discuss the large bonuses this staff gets? No teacher has ever gotten a bonus. Lynn, can you explain the staffing and bonuses a little bit there?
Yes, I would. And so, you know, as a large institutional investor, we have options, right? We can internally manage, we can externally manage, or we can do, you know, some of both, obviously, and that's what we do. So we're 2/3 internally managed, 1/3 externally managed. The staff is involved with investing in many of the different asset classes that we have. Now, when I look at, and the board gets this analysis every year, if we took everything that we internally managed and outsourced it, it would cost the system more than $130 million, and that's annually, okay? So our costs, and we've, again, they measure this, we're one of the lowest investment management costs in our peer group. So that aside, so our staff has generated the returns that we talked about. And again, when we look at their performance, we're not just looking at a 1 year that Dean was referring to. We look at a 1 and 5 year. Again, 5 year and longer time periods are really what is so crucial for a long-term pension fund. But the bonuses, we don't have bonuses. I know they're referred to that. So I want to make this clarification. What we have are incentive pay or performance pay. So part of the investment staff, and it's only for certain members of the staff, okay, they have a salary that's a fixed cost, and then some of their compensation is at risk. It's a variable pay. So they only earn that if they outperform, and it's up to, all right, to that certain variable pay. So let's take an example. If we have a salary, a total compensation, let's say 50% of it is fixed and base, and we say 50% of it, we want to see if you can outperform before you get that piece of your compensation. So it is really part of the incentive, and part of the investment compensation, and the way that is structured for a certain number of individuals on the investment team. And that does not exist anywhere throughout the rest of the organization. It is only with our investment eligible folks.
Laura, I want to get to another part of this discussion, and that is Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost is investigating the actions of a couple of STRS board members. Briefly explain what's going on there.
So the governor's office received an anonymous memo that said that STRS was subject to a hostile takeover, and that board chairman Rudy Fichtenbaum and member Wade Steen were kind of working with the Ohio Retirement Ohio Retirement for Teachers Association, as well as some outside entities that have been trying to get investment work from STRS, an outfit called QED. This 14-page memo included some documents that show in the metadata that the QED folks had their fingerprints on some of this material that was used. So Dave Yost, it's interesting because the Attorney General's office represents STRS, but is also suing to remove Rudy Fichtenbaum and Wade Steen from STRS board, saying that they violated their fiduciary duty. The board members have a requirement to act in the best interest of the fund.
Okay. Dean, what do you think of that investigation, that lawsuit?
I think it's frivolous. They basically went to court without even so much as talking to either of the two board members to get any statement from them. So usually you have an investigation, and then I would think if the investigation turns something, then you would go to court. There's no wrongdoing that anybody is aware of. I understand that the staff wrote this letter and turned it into the governor's office, who for the second time interfered with our election process. Seems like every time our members vote, if we want to talk about democracy being at risk, take a look at our pension system. Our members, the last election, endorsed somebody by an 85% to 15% margin. And then this 14-page letter appears. The year before, one of our reform-minded board members won the election, and suddenly Wade Steen's gone. What does Wade Steen and Rudy Fichtenbaum have, Dr. Fichtenbaum, have in common? They both questioned the benchmarks. Wade Steen pointed out that they're meeting their own performance. There basically is no standard for the benchmarks. Their own performance would earn their PBI bonuses. Dr. Fichtenbaum wanted to make sure they were understandable. He found them baffling, so he wanted it very clear. And it seems kind of interesting to me that these two board members, who are, one's a PhD in economics, and the other one works for the Cleveland Metro Park System and has a very good reputation as an accountant, our two best and brightest board members, they're all good to some degree, are questioning it, and for some reason the staff is feeling threatened. I think it really comes back to them protecting their own fiefdom more than anything else, and they're using, you know, they're using the governor's office and the AG's office to basically bully us.
We did get.
If I could. I'm going to interject. There's another anonymous memo kind of in this story, which is back in November, an anonymous memo accused the executive director, Bill Neville, of bad conduct. And the AG's office hired an outside firm to investigate whether or not that those allegations were true. It was unfounded, but the board, rather than returning Neville into his position, they've kept him on kind of in a limbo. And it's my understanding he's going to be in limbo at least till the end of the year, and he's on paid leave. That was another instance of an anonymous memo playing into this. And then secondarily, Dean says that the governor's office is monkeying around with the election process, but I would point out that Wade Steen is an appointee. He's not elected by the membership. His removal did come around the time of an election.
We got an email from Bob who wrote, for the first 20-some years of our careers, we'd been promised 66% of final average salary for 30 years of service, and for a good part of that time, there was an incentive to remain in teaching for 35 years to obtain 88% of that final average salary, an 11% bonus for only 5 more years. Now, most of us are above that 30-year mark, and the percentage has dropped to just around 50% for that same 30 years of service. We active teachers are paying for those who received the 35-year bonus. How do your panel respond? Complicated question, and we're running short on time. Lynn, do you have a quick response to that?
So I'll try to make it as quick, but you know, each system has unique demographics, and so for our system, obviously we have a lot of career teachers in our system. Our unique demographics now are that we have one active for every one retiree. And what that means is that is our risk profile. We're one of the most mature plans in the country. But we have, you know, our system is made up of largely females that live longer. We have teachers who live longer than public employees. So there's a lot of circumstances around all these things. And the, you know, the benefits have been going through those changes. And obviously, first and foremost, we need to be fiscally responsible and make sure that pension fund is safe and secure for the 22-year-old starting out in college, right after college and teaching, and the 108-year-old that's still receiving benefits. So that's the long-term horizon and the thinking and planning that we have to be mindful of.
This is such a complex topic. We've got a lot more we could discuss, but unfortunately, we are out of time. I've been talking with State Teachers Retirement System of Ohio Acting Executive Director Lynn Hoover, Ohio Retirement for Teachers Association President Dean Dennis, and USA Today Network Ohio Bureau Reporter Laura Bischoff. Thank you all so much for your time today. Up next, we'll hear why word puzzles are having a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition.